Here we go.
All right. I just want to welcome everyone here tonight. We were just having an awesome time before we started. But you have to be here to hear the awesome times before we get online. With that being said, welcome those that are on internet land and listening to us live or record it. We want to welcome you and hope that your ears and eyes are open to our round table discussion. I'm here with Pastor Sam and Pastor Tim, and I'm Pastor Jim. And we're going to get this message on the road right now. I want to kind of keep going with the flow of what we've been speaking about. I feel that our listeners have to really begin to hear the importance of, you know, why having a relationship with God? What is the purpose of having a relationship with God? And we've gotten so caught up with living our lives that we even forgot about our eternal life and what really the whole story is. We missed it. And I want to bring it back. I want to bring the focus back to why having a relationship with God is so important. I started breaking some things down on Sunday, and if you could try to log on to our website, glorytothenations.org, and get the message on that Sunday. What was the date on that? What was last Sunday's date? The 8th? 8th or the 9th of October, 2017. And it's that Sunday message. And it began to speak a lot about the soul, and every human being is born in sin, which is the soul. The soul is in sin. We were born in a soul, which is in sin, and the soul is dragging everyone, human life, to hell. It's literally dragging you. Every day, it's dragging you deeper and deeper into hell. Now, the problem is our minds are believing that nothing's wrong, and we're good people, and, you know, we're living a life, and everything's okay. All you got to do is just do good things. But that is so far from the truth. You have to become born again, or transformed, or rebirthed, renewed, resurrected. There's all many different definitions or languages. We like resurrection because we truly believe that you need to die and then become born again or resurrected to the spirit. And the spirit is life and everlasting life. But if we don't come to that place where we die to the soul, and that soul continues to live, it's going to lead us to hell. Yeah. I don't like calling it to hell, but most of the world can understand or relate hell. I like to say, more closer to the truth, which is the furthest distance from God, which is love. But we don't understand that. Our minds can't comprehend that. But it's the furthest distance from God. So that deep place of hell is the most farthest place where most, at this point, most, if God gives us up over to a debased mind, those that are given over to a debased mind is totally in the main pit, in the main nucleus of hell. There's no further away. You're like there. You're at the end.
And there's no repentance. When God gives you up, that means he's saying, I can no longer save you.
Right.
I can no longer transform you. I can no longer bring you into my kingdom. It's basically, I'm pushing you out.
And that's a good point that you made, because most people can't comprehend that God will actually disown you. They're like, oh, no way. God's full of love. God will never disown. If I'm just a good person, I'll have a, my body will rest and I'll have a good place when I die. That's a lie. Who even came close to even thinking of that? That the truth is that you have to be in right standings with God. You have to hear that, well done, my faithful servant, in your heart. You know, when God gives you over and he's done with you based on your debased mind, based on the mind, because the mind is what has to be changed first. And once we renew the way we're thinking and change the way we're thinking, that's called repentance. Once we come through that place of repentance, then our heart is renewed and then we're transformed into spirit. I always say that the nucleus of us transforming is really the love of God, or trusting God with all your heart, soul, and mind.
That's true.
When you lay your life down and you stop reasoning and loosen the powers of death.
Humble yourself.
Yep. And that humility loosens the powers of death.
Correct.
And when you give yourself to that place of humility and lay your life down, that means that you have no control and you just basically release
surrender.
All your life, all your control in God. You just trust him with all your heart, soul, and mind. It's that real simple. Then you stop your arguments. You stop you stop defending yourself. You stop warring with your neighbor. I mean, this will solve hatred around the world. I mean, this truth will really set the stage where I truly believe the whole world is crying for a utopia. The whole world is crying for peace. They're all trying to cry for love, but they have no way because the soul is trying to bring this across. And first of all, the soul does nothing but hate. The soul has nothing but conditional love. It doesn't know how to love. So the soul cannot bring the utopia of peace. The soul cannot bring the unity of love and the unity of brethren.
It doesn't know love in the true sense of love.
No,
it
brings
no idea.
The soul is nothing but driven for division.
Correct.
The soul will put its righteousness on it as if it's doing good, but the bottom line, it's dividing.
And the soul's driven towards self. It's all about what can I get out of it? How's this going to affect my personal stance? Yeah, it's a prideful state that basically shuns everything else.
Well, this is what we were saying on Sunday. Pride is the power of the soul.
Yes. Yep.
And until that pride is diminished, and this is why it's important that we lay our lives down in trusting in God with all our heart, soul, and mind, which comes to a place of faith, which is empowerment, that with the humility and faith resurrects and empowers the spirit that is living within inside of us, which we call Christ.
And it's already there.
It's there. It's the seed.
Like you just said, the faith comes together with the, what was it again?
Humility.
Humility, right.
Yep.
That resurrects it.
And it empowers the resurrection.
Yeah.
And that same power, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of us, which
Correct.
Is called humility.
Correct.
It's called humility. Humility is the power of the resurrection. And so for our listeners out there, and even the world powers, if they really want to change the dynamics of the way we lived in this world, they want to bring peace, they want to bring unity, they want to bring love, they want to segregate and bring the world together in this utopia of peace, the only way it's going to come is through this message. To where an individual, it starts with the individual, and the individual recognizes how the soul wants to destroy life. It wants to tear down life. And if that soul is not brought to a place of submission, and it never decreases, then you'll never have that peace. You'll never have, there will always be wars and rumors of wars. There always will be arguments. There will always be fights. There will always be racism or segregation, disunity, it'll always be. And by regulating and taking away privileges and doing all that stuff is never, is never going to bring peace.
God said, desire no
peace. It's just going to bring more arguments. It's just going to bring more anger. It's just going to bring more. And
well, the soul also feels entitled. Because it's all pride. There's no humility there. It feels entitled that it's owed things, that it needs respect. You know.
Well, they're the fruits of the pride.
Yeah.
So if we can always remember pride being the power of the soul, which leads to destruction, then we can identify the fruits of it. And the fruits of it are like branches from the tree. You know, they're the leaves, and these are the branches. Yeah, and stuff like that. So we got to get our listeners and those that are out there, and I would really even like to challenge the powers above. You know, we have. I'm just going to call it powers from above. You know, you have different chains of states and government and all that other stuff, and you know they're actually pulling these strings to try to bring unity and love. You know, let's start in our schools, and rather than arguing, let's put a third bathroom in there. You know, which is supposed to bring more unity and love. When reality, it's not doing anything but bringing more division.
Correct.
Right.
You know, and empowering pride, getting people the minorities to rise up when minorities really don't have much more to say, but. You know, I can understand their viewpoints, like we're ignorant, we don't understand, and they're and they're smarter, and we have to just, you know, submit to their intelligence and the whole nine yards. The bottom line is the soul is ever increasing in evil.
As you feed it.
And who's to say, who knows the end?
Well, the soul also is your desires, and it's the lust. Because your desires are basically desiring, they're lusting after possessions, they're lusting after power, lusting, there's many things it's lusting after. It's whether or not you're going to give in to that lust is when the desire takes root, and then all of a sudden that turns into sin.
Yes, and matter of fact, Pastor Sam and I, we were talking about this a little earlier.
Yes.
And these are like the fruits of the root. And, you know, we can start breaking them down and we can start identifying with the leaves and the branches and all. But, you know, if we can stay really focused on the root of it, then we can begin to start, you know, taking the axe at the root. I mean, we can bring up the branches and understand the desires, but there's also good desires too. You have bad desires and you have good desires, and a mature person can discern the two. An immature person can't discern the two,
which is most of the world.
With exactly right.
That's why we're speaking to everybody, because 95% of the world out there is not mature enough to decipher what the difference is.
Or 95% of the world is under the soul. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to identify the fact that most of this world is being dragged down to hell by the soul. And that's what our goal here to do is to make you identify with that. And realize, like Paul said, why do I do what I don't want to do? Why am I doing what I, why am I doing these things? Why can't I control myself? Yep. You know, that's the fruit. But the bottom line is that most of this world is controlled by the soul, and it's here to kill, steal, and destroy. And we're here to introduce people to the Spirit, which they don't even know yet. They've never even met the Spirit. You know,
they have no clue. See, the desires, okay, for one, you tell someone the desires are all bad.
Yeah.
Okay? They're going to say,
there's no life now.
Yeah. You can't say that because I'm a good person.
Yeah,
I desire good things.
I don't want hunger anymore. I don't want to suffer anymore. All those things.
Yeah, and this is what really is the world is trying to create right now. Let's not offend. Yeah, let's feed the poor.
Let everyone have their own desires. Let everyone's desires be fulfilled.
Right.
Everyone. If you desire this, you can have this. You can be a boy, you can be a girl, you can have all these desires. Let him fulfill them. That's what they're saying.
I think the biggest key, though, is to get the people that are listening, that really want to grab a hold of this. You have to believe that right now you're in soul.
Exactly right.
You have to believe.
You have to acknowledge. I think that's why Christianity, I'm going to say Christianity, started off by telling everybody they're a sinner.
Correct. Believe you're a sinner first.
Because they wanted to get people to recognize that they needed to change.
Correct. That's the key right there.
But the power of that went by the wayside.
Yes.
Because of good. How can you say I'm a sinner when I do good?
Because they're looking at doing good as under some type of law.
Works,
you know, that kind of stuff.
But my point is, the thought of the person is saying, how can you say I'm a sinner when I'm good? So the power that the church was trying to bring across by saying you're a sinner.
No one's good.
And you need to repent. The power of that has went by the wayside.
Well, the soul,
because knowledge increased.
The soul is lying to them saying that they're good.
Knowledge is increased.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the soul lies. The soul makes you believe, oh, I'm good and I don't have to change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's far from the truth. Because even Jesus, when he was quoted, he said, don't call me good.
Right.
There's nothing good about me. The only thing that's good is my Father. And the Father's inside of each and every one of us.
Now, he had that wisdom, but the world doesn't have that wisdom.
Right. They don't have it.
They're going to say, I'm a good person. I don't do anything wrong. And that's where we have to come in. And that's
where the changing of the way you think has to come into.
Well, what we're saying to the world now, you are good. You are good. Okay? There's no doubt about it. If you do good deeds and all that, you're good. But what's separating you from life and death, okay?
Eternal life.
Yeah.
Eternal life.
Well, even life in this world, because you're not going to have happiness.
Joy.
You're not going to have joy.
But that is eternal life, though.
But they don't know that. They don't know that.
Yeah.
These people here don't know what we know. These people here have no clue what eternal life is. They have no clue that peace and joy and righteousness
can be had.
Is eternal life.
Well, they think eternal life comes after you die.
Right.
You know, and
they have no clue.
That's not true. It's now.
They have no clue. And we want to talk to the world. The world has to hear us now. This is the hour for the door that is opened, that those who have an ear can hear right now.
Correct.
And we are the voice to the world who is willing to open up their heart and hear.
Yeah.
And to have a clear understanding of what's going on. So that when we can bring across the truth to them, they will begin to receive the truth. If I tell them that they're a sinner and they need to repent, that truth is no longer valid in this age. In this generation, that truth is no longer valid. It has no power.
No, it's not effective.
They turned it off. They turned it away.
It has no power. There is no power in that word.
No.
What has power is the word that we're bringing across now. An understanding that they were born in a soul nature. And that nature is dragging them to hell.
Yeah.
It is stealing their peace. It is stealing their joy. And it is also stealing their mind.
Yes.
If they're sick and tired and they're honest with themselves and say, I don't have peace because it's stolen. I don't have joy because it's stolen. And I don't even have a thought anymore because it's tormented by all these things that are meaningless.
Exactly.
Then you can comprehend what I'm saying and say, I'm in soul.
That's me.
And I need to change. If you hear me today and you recognize that you're in a soul and you need to come out of the soul that is only leading you to death, then you came to the right place. We can lead you out of the soul and get you to become what we call born again or resurrected.
Exactly.
And bring you into the spirit, which the spirit now gives life. And that life is a joy, is a peace, and a sound mind.
Yep.
And that is eternal life.
Yep.
If you don't have that life now, then you're on the road to hell.
Correct.
Or you're already in hell.
Correct.
You are in hell.
You're in hell.
That's right.
Really what it is.
So if you want to hear me out tonight, world, and you want to recognize what is being said, because I'm not going to tell you you're a sinner. I am not going to say that.
No.
But what I will say is if you're in the soul is thriving on sin. It needs it. It needs fornication. It needs adultery. It needs to lie. It needs to hate. It needs to self-indulge. It needs to empower themselves to give them those thoughts of entitlement. It needs it.
It gives himself glory.
It needs the glory.
Because it's taking the glory away from spirit, which is God, and it's putting it on self. And that's truly, really the reason why we're here on this earth. We took glory away from the Father, and now he's saying here, you're on earth now, let's see if you can give the glory back, and that's by coming in the spirit and getting rid of the soul.
Exactly right.
That's the whole transformation right
so
there.
So we're asking our listeners, time is short. I was sharing with Pastor Sam earlier, prior to coming in here this evening, and even to Shelly. I said, God hardens the heart and softens the heart. And we're at a point now that this world, at any moment, we have weapons of self-destruction.
Mass destruction.
Yep. God can harden a heart of someone and anyone could push that button.
Yep.
Because he's just done with the world and how they're not coming to a place of repentance. I look at us with this message as the last hope.
Exactly right.
The last place of hope.
Last chance.
Last chance.
Yep.
And to bring it to where people can actually relate. Wait a minute. My joy is being stolen. I don't have joy. So it's being stolen.
I don't have peace.
I don't have peace. It's being stolen.
Yep.
The soul came for one purpose. To rob, steal, kill, and destroy the life of an individual.
Yep.
And we were born in it.
Yep.
So you were born in a life of self-destruction. The world doesn't know this. They have no concept of even why they're even here. They have no concept of what, you know, they think, well, I'm here now, so I got to make some kind of career for myself, make money, and survive.
Yep.
But you really answered the question why people always say, why do I need God? That's why. Because he's bringing you out of despair and destruction.
Exactly.
And bringing you into life.
God is our salvation.
He's our salvation. Correct.
He's our salvation.
Amen.
He is the only one that can save us.
Correct.
I can't save you. You can't save. We can't even save ourselves.
Correct.
This is the issue. People think that they can save themselves.
Because of pride.
Yeah, because of pride.
It's a pride. It all goes back to that.
But they have got themselves entangled with religion.
Yeah.
Controlled doctrine.
Yep.
A story that was spelt 2,000 years ago.
Yep.
An image of a man pretending, or not pretending, but proclaiming they died for the sins of the world. When he died for his own sin.
That's right.
He died to his own soul.
Correct.
Where we need to see what was taking place and mirror image what was done.
Apply it
to ourselves.
Amen.
Where we need to lay our lives down at the foot of the cross.
Correct.
We need to lay our lives down and die to the soul so that we can allow God, who is the Savior of mankind, save us and give us that same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead.
Yep.
And allow us to be raised from the dead. The dead is the soul. The soul is the living dead.
Yes.
Now, I don't know how much clearer to be with the world. And I can't even believe that we are so blinded that we can't even see this truth. Especially when you're under a covering of a religious doctrine of Christianity or wherever you're from.
The soul doesn't want you to see.
No, the soul because is blinding
us. Because the soul wants to stay alive and relevant in your life. And like you said, it's here to kill, steal, and destroy your life.
But it's like we said, all that people have known their whole entire life from birth has been the soul.
That's it.
They don't know anything
else. That's their relationship. That's their father. That's their God. That's everything. That's them. And they don't know anything else. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to start separating you from the soul.
From the soul.
Introducing you to the spirit. That's our job.
Exactly. And what it is, to be honest with you, it's foreign. It's foreign to the world.
Correct.
What we're saying is foreign to the world.
It sounds foolish. It sounds crazy. It sounds never heard before, you know? Mm-hmm. But inside, I guarantee there's something inside of them saying, wow, this is true.
Well, let's put it this way. Yeah. You can't deny that their peace is stolen.
That's correct. Right.
You can't deny
joy.
That their joy is taken away.
Correct.
You can't deny that their mind is in tormented.
Correct. Worrying about something all day long, fearing about something that hasn't happened yet, torment every day, all day.
Those three things, if they're on. Now listen, could my joy be more? Yeah. Is it lacking? Yeah. Now, I'm at a place in my life where my joy is being fulfilled. My peace is being fulfilled. My mind is at sound. That's because of this truth.
Correct.
Yeah, and we're not talking about...
Without this truth, we could bring on those individuals that we know.
Yep.
Who proclaimed to have salvation, to proclaim they know God, not my God, not our God, but they proclaim to know a God. But that God is not bringing them salvation.
Correct.
It's not bringing them grace to be able to see salvation. It's not bringing them grace to have the knowledge of understanding death and life, to know that the soul is pure death and the spirit is pure life. It's not bringing an area of them to be able to see. For example, like I told that one guy, I said, you have all the pieces of the puzzle.
Yep.
You have every bit, every piece of that puzzle. The problem is the puzzle isn't put together.
Correct.
To see the picture.
Correct.
What's worth having all the pieces? You can have all the pieces. If I bought a puzzle and never put it together and never got to see the picture of that puzzle, what would be the value of that puzzle?
Nothing.
And that's
box
where,
full of pieces.
And that's where his life is right now.
Yep.
All that he has gained, it's leading him to nowhere, nothing.
And we're not talking about a little bit of peace, a little bit of joy here, because people are looking for those moments, the vacations, the fun time you go out with the night for your boys. We're talking about a life of peace and joy. We're talking about a life where you trust fully God and you have a peace beyond our understanding. You know, people look, you know, like I said before, your sports team wins, you're happy for the day. You know, you go out with your wife for dinner, you're happy for the night. But the next day, you know, it's gone, it's fleeting. We're talking about a joy and a peace that's everlasting.
Where you can sit in a room and be happy.
And no voices in your head.
Content. Yeah.
You know,
and to have contentment all the time.
And correct. You're not letting the storms of life continuously throw you this way and throw you that way in thoughts and torment you and cause your heart to be full of cares. And because that's what steals your peace and joys as well. But
you know what a major problem is? You feel all alone. You feel all alone.
A lot of people do. Yeah.
And with this relationship we're talking about, you're not alone anymore.
Correct.
You have a God who loves you, who's there for you. Instead of you feeling like it's you against the world and no one understands you and no one can help you, right. You're not alone anymore. With the soul, it separates and makes you alone.
Correct.
The soul empowers those thoughts.
Correct.
Correct.
I want our listeners to stay tuned because this Sunday, we're going to be talking about tearing down the strongholds that are in our mind.
Yep.
The soul is constantly tormenting our minds.
Yep.
And we need to filtrate the thoughts.
Yes.
I shared with Pastor Sam earlier that my weapon of warfare is my meditation on the things above. I always look at the goodness and the awesomeness of the glory of God. Always having a praise. Now, I know it could be difficult for those who don't know God, but just to know this truth is enough to rejoice.
Yeah.
To be able to understand the soul and how the soul operates, because temptation is never going to stop.
Never.
It's never going to stop. Our minds will always come under temptation. But like Pastor Tim said earlier, their desires. And temptation, when temptation comes, those desires come. And when we entertain those desires, that's when it becomes a problem.
Correct.
That's when the soul begins to be empowered. And that's when the soul begins to live. But if we can resist those temptations, if we can resist those desires, where they infiltrate our thoughts first, and then we can take our thoughts, rather than focusing on this, we can then focus on how awesome God is, how wonderful He is. Thank God that my day is moving along nicely.
You know,
thank God the sun is out and the weather's nice, and I have people around me who I enjoy being with, and you know, just always looking, like there's a song, always looking at the bright side of life and things of that nature. And we're going to be playing that song this weekend for another venue. But this is, you know, the world is crying out for this. They really are. Yeah. They understand the powers in the mind.
Well, let me say this.
They have somewhat truth.
You know, it's what you just said. His praise is continuously on your lips. You're always meditating on Him. But most of the world and the soul, they think that they actually come in and come out of the Spirit. Oh, I was in the world and I got to come into the Spirit. And they actually believe that they come in and out of the Spirit realm, and then they go back to the world, in the Spirit, back to the world, in the world. This truth that we're speaking puts this continuous praise in your mouth all the time. It puts a meditation on God all the time. You're always thinking about Him. There's no more thinking of anything else. And most of the world in religion, that the soul dupes you into thinking that you can come in and out, you know, and oh, I got to pray for forgiveness for this, or I have to bless the food for this. And it's a continuously back and forth battle of I'm in the world, I'm in the Spirit, I'm in the world. And the soul dupes them into thinking that they actually have a relationship, but it's no relationship. The relationship is continuously praise on your lips, meditation on God all the time, and there's no room for anything else to enter in.
You know, you made a good point. The soul actually has you fixate on things.
Correct.
All day long. Whether it's, okay, the pressures from your work.
Torment.
You know, whatever the tormenting thoughts are, you're fixated on that. And
yep.
That's what the soul makes you focus on constantly.
The soul empowers you through pride
yep.
to meditate on them.
That's
exactly.
Right. And then you're,
because pride wants to protect the soul.
Correct.
Then you'll as it being right.
Correct.
Yep. Not failing.
Yep.
You know, trying to have a good day,
but then you'll sing a worship song, and your mind will enter into an emotional relationship with a God that you created. It's not really God, and it takes you out of that worry and concern, and you have an emotional experience of a high. Oh, praise you, God! And then the next hour, when you forget, stop singing, you're back to hell again. This is what the soul dupes you as. It takes you in and out and in and out. It's not a relationship, and that's the way that the world, that God is. You
know? That's the soul. That it has the religion.
Correct.
That's not the whole world, because not the whole world is religion.
Yeah, it's the religion.
So it's a partial of the religious world out there that has that praise that you were talking about.
Well, every religion out there, which is most of the world, has that praise area. Even the Muslims get down, they pray when the sun goes down for hours, and they escape their miserable lives and they go into that fake realm. Every in the world, all over the world, they have that prayer time where they escape the soul's torment and they go into a false sense of a relationship with God when there's no relationship and they're duped and they think they have a relationship, but they don't. It's self-righteousness. Yeah. And they never find that all the time praise and joy and worship in their hearts that only God can give.
You know, as we're talking about this, the soul has really lied to people in thinking that what they're going through every day with these thoughts and with these fears and with this pride, they think it's normal.
That's exactly right.
They think they're in a normal state.
They think it's a relationship with God. They think right. They have a relationship with God.
And they don't understand that it's not normal.
It's not normal.
It's the opposite because they're so trained by it and they're so used to it.
Exactly right.
That's why they think it's normal.
Well, they came up with this definition. And the definition of that is, I'm human.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a human nature.
I'm human.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm only human.
I'm not God. Yeah. I'm not God. Yeah. I'm not Jesus.
I'm only human.
Right. You're right.
But that is nothing more than the soul
defending,
empowering themselves to staying alive.
Exactly right.
Saying there is no way out.
That's right.
You were born as a human. You will die as a human.
Right.
And there's no way out.
And God, if he's nice, he might just let you. He might just let you, you know.
He might just set you free for the day.
Correct. For an hour.
He might give you a blessing and give you something happy about.
Yep.
He might just give you that little nugget of joy for a moment.
Yep.
But you're only human.
Yep.
You're going to go right back into torment.
Correct.
Because you're only human.
Right.
Which is another lie.
Correct.
It's another lie from the soul.
It is.
It is possible to come out of the human.
Yes.
It's called mortality or immortality.
That's right.
Correct.
And mortality is human, correct?
Correct. Immortality is spirit.
Immortality is spirit.
Correct.
And if there wasn't a difference, they would have never said so.
Correct.
Right now, we're all living in mortality.
Correct.
Mortality.
Human.
Until we change the way we're thinking.
And start being transformed into immortality, which is spirit.
And once we're transformed into immortality, then we no longer are in that human torment.
That's right.
Correct. Well, here's the other thing, too.
And we don't have to wait until we die.
It's here now.
It's now.
And the truth to get there is in this place. This is the truth to get there.
Here's a way to determine if you are in soul or if you're in spirit. If you're in soul, you get offended. If you're in spirit, you don't take an offense.
You don't care.
Because you don't care. Correct.
Exactly right. You don't care.
So like the wind. Test yourself. How offended are you? If you have no offense, you're in spirit. If you're offended, well, you're in soul. Because the soul is weak in that it gets offended because it's protecting self.
Pride.
And that's where the pride comes in and you take on the offense. If you're in spirit, it just water off your back like a duck. You don't get offended. You don't get stirred up. You're kind of even keel with everything. Nothing can seem to bother you.
Mm-hmm.
But in soul, you're bothered. You're flustered. You're getting offended. And that's what's going on right now around the world, is people are getting easily offended because they're stuck in soul.
They're so offended.
Yep.
To the point where I want to call just higher powers.
Yep.
Don't know how to control it.
They can't control it.
Right.
They know that it needs to stop.
But they can't control it.
There's too much hatred going on.
Division.
And they're trying to stop the hatred. At the same time, they're bringing on more hatred.
Yeah.
Correct.
Trying to stop the hatred.
Yep.
When if they would just leave it alone.
Yeah, let it fizzle out.
Just leave it alone. Don't give it attention.
You don't give it attention. Whenever there's a problem or a circumstance that arises, you don't give it attention.
Well, that's the news media, man.
Bring truth back into the picture. Broadcast this message. Who's ever out there listening, who is the powers above,
got the balls.
Broadcast the message so that people, because the issue is going to start with an individual. Yeah. It's not going to start trying to bring a national movement.
No.
It has to start with an individual.
Correct.
The individual has to realize how to cast down the arguments.
Yes.
And stop the nonsense.
Yep.
And encourage another one and help them alongside cast down the arguments.
And that's selflessness.
This is the way the church was supposed to be.
Correct.
This is the way the church was designed 2,000 years ago.
Yep.
It was.
But it's been lost. It's not here anymore. The church is not a church anymore. The church has become a political...
Yep. Platform.
Self-empowerment.
Entertainment.
Entertainment.
Prostituting God.
Babysitting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Public facility. To bring another gym.
Self-gratifying.
Another movie night. But in a so-called good way.
Right.
To save a soul.
We're going to continue to save our souls here, so show up next Sunday.
So that the soul will always be a soul. Never transformed into the immortality.
Yep.
Of spirit.
Don't forget to bring your soul.
So when you get into that heavenly place, you can fragment the soul.
Feeding people, body, and soul.
Meeting people, body, and soul. So I hope our listeners are really starting to take sincere about what we're saying and realize that the soul is nothing more than dragging you to hell.
Yeah.
It's all it is.
It's a weight and anchor.
Until you wake up and realize that you're being dragged to hell.
Yeah.
And start doing something about it.
Yep.
Now, I'm going to say there's nothing you can do. You can't stop the soul from dragging you to hell.
No.
But one thing. One thing.
Resist.
There is one thing. You can resist, but you don't even know what you're resisting at. In the very beginning, there's only one thing. Trust God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You got to lay your life down in the hands of an unknown God by faith.
By faith.
You have to just lose control and lose your life. And you have to just give it to God and say, God, I give you all my glory.
That's it.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
That's the only salvation you have. That's the only way that you can begin to save the soul. That's it. There is no other way. There is no other way. When you're in that state and you're in the soul and you have no other way out, that's the only way out. That's the only light that you have to lead you out.
Correct.
From there, we build on. We build on with other truths that you can understand and grab hold of and chip at the mountain, so to say.
Well, that's where resisting comes in.
That's where resisting. Yeah. Understanding the fruits of the soul. Understanding the fruits of the spirit. Begin to be able to live by those. Begin to always have your mind renewed. Don't meditate on the torments of the world because you have control. You got to give it to God. You got to always come in humility, and you have to learn humility. Cast down pride, because pride empowers the soul. Grab hold of humility. Embrace humility. Stop justifying. Stop arguing. Lay your life down. Now you're coming into immortality. Now you're coming into immortality. This is the gospel. This is the truth. This is the message for now. This is this age message now. It's not Jesus Christ. It's not sin. It's destroying the soul that is dragging you to hell.
Correct.
And resurrecting the spirit that's inside of everyone.
Correct.
Resurrecting that spirit to empower you to eternal life. That's the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise.